99 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome. Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, August 4th, and it's a little after 11 a.m. in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Murray, and I shall be your host for today as we talk about migration. There are a number of persons who would suggest that migration is a natural phenomenon, that migration is a broad topic that I don't necessarily want to belabor the illegal migration phenomenon. But our discussion today is whether there's any benefits from a particular socio-economic class in terms of migration. And I have a guest today who would like to explain from that point of view what migration is all about. Why do people migrate? And I wanted to put on record that it's a challenge when the Bahamas in particular is being, for lack of a better word, inundated by a particular socio-economic migrant that is setting up a resident. And we're going to discuss whether he should be upset, concerned, or whether we can capitalize on an opportunity. And to have that discussion, and hopefully he's online with me, I have Lulu Georges. Are you there? Not yet? There's nobody inside his room? Just confirming? Are you on, Moody? I know he's there on, just trying to work with the speaker part. And I wanted, Moody, whenever you hear me, let me know, right? I wanted to put in the conversation that the Haitian charge des affaires, Anson Pierre Brutus, recently said that there may be approximately 100,000 Bahamians, put in quotes, and I mean this reference broad, not meaning to be purposely controversial. One, Bahamians of Haitian descent. Two, Haitians who has some type of status in the Bahamas, whether the work permit, whether it's read my messages, whether it's spousal permits, I wanted to know what Ruby Georges thought about that number. So I'm going to have that as part of the conversation also. Ruby, are you there yet? Still pending?
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now. Good. I want to welcome you to the show, and I don't want this conversation to be controversial, right? But I wanted to hear your opinions on migration, particularly regarding migrants of a particular socio-economic status, right? And I know usually these conversations tend to go down a particular where Bahamas say, oh, we don't want, for lack of better words, we don't want any more Haitian migrants in the Bahamas. But I don't necessarily want the conversation to be about that. I want the conversation to be broad enough to include Jamaicans, Cubans, Guyanese, even some Africans in this conversation. Can the Bahamas, I put this question to you, can the Bahamas benefit from migrants from these poorer or working class communities?
Sorry, I missed that. Connection was active.
I understand. I wanted to know whether how can Bahamians benefit from migrants moving to the Bahamas in the short term?
Well, you say in the short term, however, I think if we have a concerted effort and thinking about how migration had benefited the Bahamas over the decades, I think we would find countless example of increased economic output, potential entrepreneurs, increased in demand, added personnel or resources to the workforce, whether it be skilled or unskilled. It is undeniable the value that the labor force of the country has received as a result of migration. I mean, just look around the country itself. Look around in farming, construction, and otherwise. And so migration has benefited the Bahamas over the decades. We do understand, yes, we will acknowledge that we do have an illegal migration phenomenon that we must find ways to deal with, particularly with persons migrating to the country illegally from Haiti. But however, I would put to you that the majority of Haitians that are living or that I've ever come in contact with are actual legal residents of the country, persons who are working and have their work permits or spousal permits or permits to reside, permanent residents. They are all consumers, just like you and I. Those that take the bus, they support the public transportation system. You know, they have to go to the food stores. You have to go to the gas station. You have to go to the washhouse. You know, they utilize the utilities just like you and I. For the most part, the majority of those that are foreigners in the country are not living in informal settlements like shanty towns, which is another issue within itself and one that should be addressed. But however, we cannot only talk about migration, or every time we talk about migration or migrants or foreigners in the country, we seem to only want to look at the negatives. Mind you, the negatives exist. We need to deal with them. But we certainly, as a progressing, you know, advanced little nation, the best little nation in the world, I'm pretty sure that we can chew gum and walk at the same time.
And I hear you, and it's hard for Bahamians not to include both narratives simultaneously, because it does seem like we have a large number of illegal migrants coming to the country, especially we just recently, just want to mention, and again, I want to extend condolences to the families, that we had a boatload of migrants risking their lives in order to be in the Bahamas. And we want to discourage that. But I want to know, what can we do?
One second, Justice Tickapen, sorry. You said we have the illegal migration issue. That is one thing. Mm-hmm. And then you said we had the tragedy at sea.
Yes.
Have we confirmed that those persons were attempting to come into the Bahamas? Because last I checked, that was it was noted as a smuggling exercise. Human smuggling exercise to take persons from the Bahamas to go to the United States.
And I hear you with the semantics.
I'm not trying to say that it's okay. It's against the law both ways. But however, let's not paint it as a picture of persons trying to smuggle their way into our jurisdiction.
And again, Luby, I hear you with semantics, but we know from the past we've had a number of migrants, and particularly from Haiti, who have suffered or have lost their lives on their way to the Bahamas. But my point is, what I was trying to mention is, how do we discourage that? There is a need to discourage that because people are losing their lives. What can we do to mitigate this situation moving forward? Now, we are prepared, and any sensible country are prepared to embracing migrant workers, laborers to come into their country. But we cannot condone any type of illegal migrants, and especially migration where there's no checks and balances. I'm not even going to mention people coming on unsafe sloops, but they are here without any document. And you said that the majority of migrants that you know, that you come into contact with, and no documentation to be here, and whereas a number of Bahamians might be true.
No, I totally understand the Bahamian perspective. Obviously, you would appreciate that I can see or would have a different perspective because of my background, because, you know, I'm a Bahamian of Haitian descent. I work closely with the migrant community, some of their leaders and that sort of thing. And so that's why I would have had the opportunity to come in contact with more Haitians than probably the average Bahamian. And so, of course, I would have seen, and you could understand why I would say that. However, I do understand the issue of illegal migration, one that I do not condone. You know, for some crazy and weird reason, people think that persons like myself have been advocating for some doors to be open and, you know, to the proverbial floodgates to be open. And I say to that, hell no. I do not condone, I do not agree with illegal migration. I single family member that is residing in the Bahamas, undocumented. I've had family members whom I would have spoken to in the past who resided in Haiti after some years, after some time, going through the legal process, me knowing what that legal process entails to, you know, get a work permit or a permit to reside or some other, or maybe even a visa to visit. I've had family members whom I would have sponsored in the past to receive tourist visas to visit the Bahamas. And upon their entry into the country, you know, the immigration at the airport would say, hey, you have 10 days, 15 days, 21 days, 7 days, whatever the immigration officer at that time may choose, and that is it. Now, should you want that family member to stay an extra week or an extra 3 or 4 days before their time is up, there's a process for that. You go to the Department of Immigration with a new travel itinerary, their passport, the card that they would have received at the airport and that they would have filled out. You take all of those documents. You yourself have to present your documents as the sponsor, and you would have to sign off on that, and hopefully and you make the request for an extension for just a matter of a few days, all right? And so, again, I think more education is needed because people, you know, the persons living over there in Haiti in the hardships who are dreaming of a better life and, you know, wanting to leave the country, maybe their family members are not discouraging them to let them know. Maybe they're not explaining to them what the processes are. You know, it is possible. There is a front door. You can come through the front door. It's not guaranteed for everyone. It's not a free-for-all. But however, there is an opportunity to come through the front door. And it is the best way. It is the right way. And I try to encourage persons to do it that way. But I do think that more education needs to happen, education campaigns. Maybe the Bahamian or Bahamas embassy that and Bahamians that we have on consulships and special diplomatic missions to Haiti can collaborate with some mayors, with the senators or whomever is in charge or representing the Northwestern District or Department of Haiti, because mostly that's where Haitians are in the Bahamas, tend to come from, the Northwestern Department, which would have places like Port-au-Prince, Saint-Foulaine, and a few others, St. Louis, and those places. Majority of Haitians in the Bahamas are from those areas in Haiti. And so I think, you know, we need a more concerted effort for educating those persons over there so that they understand exactly what they're getting into. They understand what happens when you get here in the Bahamas. And they understand that, hey, you know, you're not benefiting yourself. You're not necessarily benefiting your family. You're definitely not benefiting the Bahamas by coming here undocumented and then living under the radars. Those sort of conditions coming in are what may fuel and push persons to go into these informal settlements and to try to hide out maybe. And so we need more collaboration on both sides. The Haitian government, the Bahamian government, like it or not, yes, the root of the issue is not based in the Bahamas, it's based in Haiti. But however, it branches off and ends up in the Bahamas. And we can see, and we talk about it every day, that it is affecting us. And so because it is affecting us, it now becomes, in some aspects, our problem also. And so we need to find ways to mitigate. We need to find ways to discourage. And I think, you know, greater collaboration between the two governments, I think CARICOM can also assist in trying to deal with some of the issues that they have in Haiti. Yes, there is a lot of gang violence. We hear about that, the kidnapping, but the gang violence and the kidnappings that is happening in Haiti right now, Nuri, is mostly happening for the most part in Port-au-Prince. And you're pressed to really find Haitians from Port-au-Prince in the Bahamas. And so I don't necessarily agree that the gang violence will cause there to be that mass exodus of Haitians leaving Haiti or whatever, and then thus landing in the Bahamas. Again, like I would have said a bit earlier, the overwhelming majority of Haitians that you would find in the Bahamas are from the Northwestern Department. The Northwestern Department is the most neglected
least developed in every sense of the word department in Haiti. And for those that don't know, Haiti has, you know, we have islands, we have constituencies, they have departments, the United States have states. And so the equivalent to a state would be a department with different cities and that in it. And so again, the Northwestern Department is where you would find Haitians jumping on boats and coming over to the Bahamas. And so more needs to happen in that area.
And I appreciate your sentiment about that, because it is an educational thing that you did just now. And numbers know that it's from the northern part of Haiti that the migrants come from. But when you had a narrative of, oh, things that needs to be done to mitigate this mass migration from Haiti, there hasn't been any clear explanation on what can be done. Like you said, there needs to be a partnership between our government and the Haitian government to explain that this is the only way you can get papers in the Bahamas or whatever recording it needs. But it doesn't seem as if that information is being infiltrated in this particular area, because these people have hope. These people believe that there's a system. If they get to the Bahamas, that they'd be able to survive and be prosperous. But I'm moving forward. Let me even inject this. Listening to the Charles de Affair from Haiti and saying that perhaps more visas needs to be issued out. Perhaps there needs to be creation of jobs. I don't think that will mitigate at all the stem of persons leaving the poorest sections of departments of Haiti to come to the Bahamas.
Well, you know, the whole visa thing, he and that 100,000 number that he grabbed out of his, you know, back pocket and just threw out.
You don't agree there's 150,000 Haitians or people of Haitian descent living in the Bahamas?
I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it.
You believe it's more or you believe it's less?
I believe it is far less. However, I do think that the country is going through a census exercise right now. And so let us wait to see what the numbers would bear. But I don't agree with him. And then I would also say that, you know, and I stand by this, that he is one that doesn't have much cachet within his own community that he represents. I've heard that there is going to be a press note that is coming out today by 2 p.m. So look out for that. Once I receive, I would send you a copy of it, where he, you know, or the embassy is going to seek to make some clarifications. There have been a lot of uproar in the migrant community that I've paid close attention to. The leaders, the pastors, the Haitian League of Pastors and others, they don't agree with him. They've been tugging on his ear and pinching him and telling him, hey, listen, you know, you're here today. You may be recalled and sent to somewhere else and live your best life. But, you know, we have to live here. And so you need to understand the politics of the country. And you can't just come here and throw these wild numbers, you know, into the air. And so they're dealing with that. So I've heard, I've heard that there's going to be a press note coming out where he's going to make some clarifications on that today and by 2 p.m. Should that not happen by 2 p.m., I've heard that some of the leaders, they have a course of action that they've chosen that they're going to take regarding his presence as being the Charles de Affair in the Bahamas. So let's wait and let's watch how that one will play out. But however, you mentioned jobs, Yuri, job creation. I agree with that, but not necessarily from the Bahamian standpoint. That is what is needed.
Explain what you mean by that.
No. That is what is needed in the Northwestern Department.
Mm-hmm.
Development, infrastructure, businesses, job opportunities, the stabilization of the government. President last year that was assassinated, God rest his soul, he was on the right track. I think Haiti needs to host an election. They need to allow the people to choose their president, and they need to push forward. Again, the president that was assassinated last year, his focus, or one of his main focuses, was on the North and Northwestern departments of Haiti. And he began, blasting mountains and creating roads. And his other idea was to fully electrify the country, 24-hour electricity. He believed in the sun, the water, and the soil. He believed in that. Haiti is a very gifted country as it relates to its soil and, you know, being able to flourish agriculturally. And so the president wanted to go within that direction. The Haitian people are very good at that. They love growing food. They love being in the plant, in the gardens or in the farms. And so he wanted to do that. But again, the jobs and the diaspora, I think, also has a great role to play in this. You know, you have millions of Haitians living outside of Haiti. They don't necessarily have to go back and live in Haiti or return home, but they can not, they can decide to not wait on the government, create associations, create organizations, whether it be within your little township, within your city, within your department, and they can create the opportunities. They can build the schools. And because right now, the majority of schools, if not somewhere around 90% of the schools in Haiti are like private schools. So educational opportunities are not necessarily there also. And so that is why the persons in Haiti depend so much on the Haitians living abroad, Haitians living outside of Haiti, to be able to send their kids to school, to be able to fit their medical bills, to be able to put the groceries in their houses. And so if they had those opportunities back home, then we would definitely not see Haitians leaving Haiti. Because again, they're only leaving for those opportunities, the opportunity to earn, the opportunity to be able to take care of themselves and their families. We understand why they're leaving. The way that they're leaving is totally wrong. Mm-hmm. The way that they're leaving, we do not condone, but we cannot say that we don't understand why they're leaving. And that is where CARICOM, that is where the Haitian government, that is where regional leaders need to begin, you know, from the root of it. Why are they leaving? The main push factor is for economic opportunity. And so if there's economic opportunity in Haiti, you won't see those people leaving. I mean, the example is very clear right there in Haiti itself. If you look at the southern department, the southwestern departments, you won't find those Haitians in any substantive numbers living in the Bahamas, in Turks and Caicos, in Jamaica, in Cuba. You won't find those Haitians. You won't find them in South Florida. Mainly, they may be in New York and Connecticut and Canada and Belgium, in France or something, but you won't find them in the Bahamas. Why is that? We need to start to look at these things to be able to formulate a regional plan to deal with this Haitian issue. Again, if we sit back and leave it up to them, because they've clearly shown that they do not have the resources or the ability to solve these issues, or maybe even the will to solve the issues on their own. And because they're not solving the issues with jurisdiction, we see now that we're having the influxes and that we're ending up with other issues in our own countries. And so CARICOM, again, and regional leaders, including the United States, need to do more and sit with the Haitian government and get to the root of things, in my opinion.
And from what I understand what you said, you don't necessarily support the idea that the Bahamas needs to do more. Right, that you're saying that Haitian and the diaspora needs to invest in Haiti in order to solve Haitian problems. I see our prime minister, along with the prime minister of Barbados, prime minister of Jamaica, has been put forward by the CARICOM to say that they will investigate and see how Haitians living in Haiti can lead the charge in terms of solving their issues that they're having there. But the way that is doing now, but outside sources dictating to Haiti, will not work. And this is basically what the prime minister said. But the prime minister also indicated that while he was at the Summit of Americas recently, that there was some type of agreement that he wanted our Bahamas to sign, and that he refused to sign it because it, and I can try to find a direct quote for it and read it just to be on the safe line. But
yeah, I'm aware of
that. But I found that fascinating, that they want to solve Haiti's issues, right? But the Bahamas found itself that if they sang that, which was basically embracing or having a solution that's not would be independent of the Bahamas. I'm trying to get the right words. A solution that would be regional instead of every individual country finding a particular solution for it. And I understood what the Prime Minister was trying to say. I support his decision on that. But I wanted to hear your commentary on that too before I go to the caller who's waiting on the line.
Well, I support the Prime Minister, Philip Braham Davis, and his position, the government's position of not signing that agreement. Again, for Barbados, it may be easy for them to sign that. It may be easy for some other Caribbean country or the United States or some far country. And I say far, I'm talking about proximity to Haiti itself. You know, each country has its own unique context. You know, what we're dealing with here in the Bahamas as it relates to migration or irregular migration, Barbados is not dealing with that, you know? They're not dealing with that. So it's easy for Mia and her crew, you know, to jump up there and say, you know what, yeah, we support X, Y, or Z, but you don't have the issues that we have. So you cannot expect the Bahamas to agree to what, to the same thing as Barbados when the Bahamas and Barbados doesn't have the same issues. And so I support the Prime Minister in not signing on to that, because then what it would mean, and the thing is, what is not clear to me on this entire agreement, and maybe, you know, the Minister of Foreign Affairs or somebody else could clear, could, you know, reveal some more about the agreement itself and what it would entail, is that what is being asked of us? What type of support would we have been receiving should we have signed on to this thing? What is the United States willing to do for the Bahamas should we have signed on to this thing?
And the Prime Minister didn't go into detail, but this is where I want to put it, read, right? It says, signatories acknowledge that they're addressing irregular international migration requires a regional approach, and that ongoing health, social, and economic challenges of the pandemic exacerbate their root causes driving irregular migration, including the vulnerabilities of many migrants and their communities. And what it seems to me that the Bahamas would have abdicated its responsibility or its duty to protect its borders and give it up to the region to create policies on how we will allow migrants to be coming into the Bahamas. So that's what I interpret out of that.
Yeah, and that's where I was going to, and that's what I interpret from it. And that's why, you know, my position on it is that there is no one size fits all approach to this, because the dynamics of each country is different. Again, using the example of the Bahamas and Barbados as it relates to irregular migration. So again, I support the Prime Minister in not going ahead and, you know, jumping in wholesale and signing on to that agreement.
But I have a caller here. Let me see what the callers want to say. Go ahead, caller.
Hey. Yeah, yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
You know, I just this morning began to appreciate, you know, Luby's zeal. No, Haiti, I believe Haiti is like a litmus test for this post-slavery diaspora in terms of what we are prepared to do as a collective. Although Haiti's problems are in Haiti, you know, a whole lot of obstacles are in Haiti. I don't think Bahamians know of the amount of stuff that is being produced and exported from Haiti all over the world, you know. There's a company, you know, it's called SureTab.
Yep.
And they produce and assemble tablets. And they send those things all over the world. You know, I think Haiti, you know, it produces and exports more than, you know, our country does, you know. But I think, you know, whatever happens in Haiti, it will have to be a collective effort on the part of all Caribbean, all post-slavery Caribbean nation. I don't think anybody else except us is interested and Haiti seeing it's very clear. Now, our country, we have a, you know, ours is like a demographic, you know, we are in this because of where we are on the map. I believe why we have a lot of there is a demand for the Haitian worker in this country, primarily because they show up to work on time.
Okay, I who can disagree with such? But see, Luby, while talking to you, I realize that there is a distinct difference between Haitians living in the Bahamas and those who live here of Haitian descent. And for lack of a better word, to make it simpler to explain, is there, in your opinion, a difference between Haitians and Haitian Bahamians? It just seems like there's a cultural difference, and that few Bahamians tend to know the nuances between it in terms of how do we approach Haiti and how do we approach the issues and the migration of it.
Well, you know, one of the fights that persons like myself, you know, it's a huge uphill battle that we have is trying to make the distinction between the two, you know, the persons that originate from Haiti, those that were born, that were raised, that made a decision to come to the Bahamas, or even as a child that was brought over by a parent, and those that were born in PMH or at the Rand Memorial, just like you or any other Bahamian constitution recognizes, whom were able to grow up within our communities, whether it be in the middle class or in the inner city, just like any other Bahamian child. You know, I grew up in Kemp Road. I'm from St. James Road, just up the road from Pilgrim Baptist Temple, all of my life. I'm still living within the Freetown constituency. And so culturally, there is a difference between myself. There is a difference between the Bahamian of Haitian descent. There is a difference between children or persons born to Haitian parents in the Bahamas compared to those who were born in Haiti. And in the Haitian community, they themselves, they see the difference, you know. On one side, you have a lot of, you know, majority of the xenophobic people who would see a person who has Haitian heritage and still call you Haitian. You have a Bahamian passport. You represent the Bahamas. Unless you go to the Olympics or you make it to the NBA or you do something on the world shining stage. For example, let's look at our girl, the reigning Miss Bahamas, who won a few months ago. You know, everybody was, you know, hooraying all over the place for her, and still is, and rightfully so. She is getting what she deserves. She is getting, it's her shining moment. It's her accepting moment in the eyes of many. But what is the difference with her and the other person who was born to a Haitian mother or father? You know, when she was coming back over from that pageant, that contest, her Haitian mother was there at the airport waiting on her in tears, and it was being embraced along with her by the Bahamian people. There's no difference. You understand what I'm saying? So the Haitians would call persons like myself, whether you have the Bahamian passport or not, they would look at you and say, hey, you are an Anglais, meaning English. You are a Bahamian. You go to Haiti. They see the difference instantaneously. Here in the community, same thing. But on the flip side, just yesterday, I was having a conversation with some crazy person that, you know, messaged me on Facebook. And they were saying, well, you know, you're Haitian, right? I was like, no. I said, listen, if we and I are going to have a conversation, you need to first come to the table and these assumptions, remove that idea that I'm a Haitian, that I need to go to Haiti. I was not born in Haiti. I've never held a Haitian passport in my life. I've had Haitian nationality. It was on my Bahamian birth certificate until such time as I would have been sworn in as a Bahamian. Yeah, but the Constitution recognizes me. And so until such time as persons can accept that we are Bahamians, whether we're first generation or whatever it may be, a Bahamian is a Bahamian and that is it, then we would continue to have some of these issues, because the illegal migration or irregular migration is always at the back of our minds. And so when you pull up with the Joseph, the Baptiste, the Jean, the Pierre, the Georges, the Francois surname,
persons are thinking about that illegal or irregular migration, and they tend to deal with you with that in mind. And so we're doing ourselves a disservice. I mean, go look at the one family Chunkanoo group, go inside their shacks, look at the colors Chunkanoo group started by Justilians. And so until such time as you do something that is great, you're not accepted, it seems. And we need to do away with it. But yes, there is a distinct difference. There is a cultural difference between persons who were born in Haiti and persons who were born in the Bahamas, the Haitian parents.
I see another caller here. Producer, you can patch that caller through. How you doing, caller?
Hey, Mr. Neary.
How you doing?
Hey, what's up, brother? I'm going to thank you again. Mr. Neary, I think, Mr. Georges, I think that the government of the Bahamas is basically, listen to me now, basically fighting a losing battle. And give me a second to let me explain why. I'm listening to Mr. Georges saying that one part of Haiti where persons are basically leave from or they launch their boats from. And he's trying to say that the government needs to do more. But what could the Bahamian government do? Now, let me be real. I don't care who the government is, but what could the Bahamian government do if the government of Haiti, if you can sit on the radio, Mr. Georges, and you don't...
Let me pause you. You know that Luby said the Bahamas government shouldn't do anything and that the Haitian government needs... I'm not sure if you missed that entire conversation.
No, I was wondering where he was going.
He didn't say that. In 15 minutes, he went on.
I heard what he said. You know what I'm saying?
Go ahead. But just don't say something that he didn't say. That's what I said. He didn't say that. Hold on.
You understand the content I put it in? I am not knocking what Mr. George said, you know. I am saying to you, right, that if Luby is sitting on the radio and explaining to the listeners that they're basically the Haitians them migrate or leave from. You're trying to tell me now, where does the Bahamas government play in that? Because first of all, for years and years, past, present, and maybe future governments of Haiti.
You know, I got to cut you again because you're not understanding. You start off well, and then you created a whole new narrative.
Mister, I am not creating a whole new narrative. Why do y'all think that persons who call your talk show are the most dumbest, stupidest people? You're not giving me a chance to explain myself.
Because twice I tried, and you didn't do it. Twice.
But you're not giving me a chance.
One more time. Then I cut you.
Okay. You don't have to cut me. I can hang up. Listen, all I'm simply saying, why don't the Haitian government stop the people where Mr. Georges say they're coming from to come to the Bahamas?
And Luby said
that
already.
He was that problem. He said that problem before you create the problem to say the government need to do this and do that. The Haitian government need to stop them first.
And Luby said that 4 times now.
Okay, and I said that 10 times. You have a nice day.
You're welcome, man. And the idea is, and I hear you, Luby. The idea is you expressing the need for Haitians in the diaspora to do more. So you express for the need for the government of Haiti to do more. And there are some people who will blot all of that out because of who you are and say, no, you are trying to say that Bahamian government is wanting to do more. And that's unfortunate, especially when we try to deal with the situation. But I'll let you respond.
Yeah, but, you know, I said this last night on Beyond the Headlines with Howard Grant, you know, and we just said it again. The Haitian government needs to step up. The Haitian diaspora to step up, all right? But because the problem is rooted in Haiti, because it is Haitians, that is why they need to lead the charge.
That's what our prime minister said, too.
But however, though, the root of this tree begins in Haiti, but its branches are now far-reaching and overshadowing the Bahamas. And so it becomes a problem for us. Everyone acknowledges that we have an irregular migration problem. Let us also acknowledge that it seems that whether it's lack of will, whether it's lack of resources, something is happening in Haiti that is causing the government to not want to address it or maybe cannot address it. And so that is why the region can come together. Listen, we have operation, what is called OPBAT, I think it is. With the Bahamas, Trace and Caicos, and America patrolling the southern shores. Haiti has a Coast Guard also, you know. But do they have the necessary training? Do they have the necessary manpower? Do they have the necessary resources like boats or whatever? Do they have any sentry posts set up in the areas where they know that the boats are most likely to launch from? Who's surveilling the waters of Haiti in the northwestern channels that lead up to Inagua? We wait until they get into our waters, and then we arrest them, and then we do what? Process them, and based on international laws and international treaties, and us being a part of the Human Rights Council, if, for those that didn't know, the Bahamas, I think we just left the board, if not still on it. We were second in charge. We were the vice chairs of the United Nations Human Rights Council. Do you know what type of weight that holds?
And
do you know what type of
the music is playing,
standards are being expected of us? And so we sign on to certain things that says that we have to deal with people and human beings of particular weight. So, okay, cool. But listen, if Haiti lacks the resources, why can't the U.S., Turks and Caicos with their British government, the Bahamas, Barbados, whoever wants to come to the table, why can't we go down to Haiti, scout the areas, take a look at it, see what's going on? If we only start at the surveillance part of it, with the millions that the United States has, with the trillions or billions that the the British government has, we see where the United States Embassy is always promoting and donating.
Luby, put a pin right there as we go and take this commercial break, so we can have you continue on the next side.
We're not always able to see the storms in life approaching, but we can take the necessary steps to be prepared to ensure the safety of ourselves, our loved ones, and our property. This hurricane season, trust J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers. We'll be here to help you get back on track in your time of need. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Love, want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM. I see I have a caller on the line, and I'm going to have Luby respond to them. But go ahead, caller. Caller, can you hear me?
Mr. Nuri.
How you doing, man?
Good morning, Luby. You know, I appreciate Luby's sincerity, right? But Luby, I mean, how much training did you need for, you know, all defense for us to correct the problem that David was talking about? I don't agree with David that the government, both parties, there's nothing they can do. There's all kinds of things they can do. So I just have a question for Luby. And this is a trend that I find very disturbing. It's been going on for a while, and most people are not mentioning it, but it came across in my high school chat group, and it was concerning a Neame Brown family, and they are opposed to a Haitian migrant obtaining their surname. And so I was wondering, since these surnames are from the slave masters, right, and, you know, the Haitian migrants pose a lot of different problems as far as just the other migratory demographics, right? And so why is it that they so predominantly want to change to the Bahamian surnames? So I saw the guy was an orderly, he's not an orderly. And I find that it is a matter of national security and just family name and credibility. So I noticed they have this trend. Nobody is discussing that. Why do they like to do that? That's a false paradigm. You're not an orderly. You're not a Russell. What I'm saying is, why are they doing this? Is this some tactic? Because this could lead to legalities with issues with land and different things. So that's an inconspicuous way of fraud and all kind of other nefarious activity, man.
Let me let Luby respond to that. Go ahead, Luby.
Well, Leary, I don't have much to say on that. I see the ads in the papers, but I don't know of anyone personally who've gone down that road of changing their surnames.
Please hang up and try again.
When you do see the ads in the papers with wanting to change their surnames, you know, just by looking at the pictures or looking at what their names would have been before, or what it is now, prior to what they're trying to change it to. You know, most of whom I've seen with the ads in the papers are not Haitian surnames or persons of Haitian descent that are trying to change their surnames. But I do appreciate what the caller is trying to say. But however, it's not something that I've ever tried to study or look into. And so I can't really, you know, speak to that.
I have another caller there. Producer Patrick Colter. How you doing, caller?
Good morning, CA.
How you doing, man?
Yes. Now, this part's being new, because I remember when Christie was in Caricom. Caricom wanted free movement of people. He said, no, no, no. Everybody would want to come here because of our U.S. dollars. We have the best minimum wage. And the bombers would kind of would sink, really. Because anybody want to go back south. Everybody try to find get close to America, to the U.S. dollars. So this probably knew what Braves say. Every prime minister that don't allow, we can't allow Jamaicans, Barbadians, Haitians, nobody, because Bahamas are very small, we can't afford it. And let's say, from 2010, the earthquake, America has given Haiti $15 billion. And they can't find a dollar, because Haiti is very corrupt. They don't steal $10 million, they steal $100 million, like those police chiefs. That's corrupt. America wouldn't tax them for the 5 and 10 foot pole because they probably would sink the U.S. with all the trillions they got. Why wouldn't America tax out Haiti? France, the rich European, we can't even deal with our own problems. Haiti would sink us.
Okay, then, caller. I appreciate the commentary. We have a next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, Luby.
No, I just wanted to clarify something for persons that are painting this picture that Haiti received $10 billion, it was $9 billion after the earthquake that was pledged to Haiti. And for those that are continuously saying that Haiti received this money, do some research. Don't just listen to those xenophobic activists who are out there who are trying to use and play on the emotions of the Bahamian people with this irregular migration and Haitian situation. And they know who they are, right? That French group out there, right? Only a fraction of that money ever made it to Haiti. The countries that
the Bahamas Rosebud pledges, we got $2 billion in pledge the other day for the hurricane. We ain't get that yet. So you ain't gonna believe it. We ain't gonna believe that. Let me get to the next caller.
Yeah.
Caller, go ahead.
Good morning, received $10 billion.
Good morning, CA. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Graham.
In the interest of time, I have two questions for Mr. Georges. And I'd like to give you the question, then hang up and listen to the response.
Go ahead.
A few years ago, I spoke to the Haitian ambassador, and he told me that Haiti did not recognize any of its citizens denouncing their status. One. Number two, a woman, married or unmarried, having a baby anywhere in the world, was instantly recognized as a Haitian national, and as such, could grab their documents. Therefore, it is impossible to swear in as a Bahamian when you're unable to denounce the country of origin. And the thing is, we don't recognize those. Second question, can two illegals go to any country breaking the law with impunity, entering illegally, and by the act of having a child, become naturalized citizens? And I'll leave you with this. If you were serious, you would do a joint venture with Cuba, because not one person leaves from the coast of Haiti and goes close right there to Cuba. So Cuba knows how to defend its borders. Yes, we can't fix Haiti, so don't ask us to. We're too small. But we could partner with less than 17 million in drones, a million a year, and Cuba would patrol those waters. So answer my two questions. How can you enter a country illegally and by the act of having a baby get a citizenship? And how can you swear in as a Bahamian when you are a dual citizen and Haiti doesn't recognize denouncing? Have a good day, Mr. Georges.
And Luby, I won't have you answer any of those questions because that's a question for the Minister of Immigration. We have set policies, set laws, allow whoever to get citizenship. They come on the radio all the time and explain it. And it would be wrong for me to have you answer it. And you're not the representative for the Ministry of Immigration because I don't want you to give it erroneous.
He only needs to read the Constitution.
Yeah, I don't want you to give erroneous information here. We'll pose it to a minister and then they'll explain it again. And then he'll call back again. But it's been Guardian Radio in the AM. My name is C.A. Nuri. I enjoyed the conversation with Luby Georges today as we explain and have a conversation about migration and why migration happened. What's the difference between illegal migrations and legal migrations? Luby has made it clear that he doesn't support any kind of illegal migrations. We understand there's a difference in culture between Haitians living in the Bahamas and Haitian Bahamians living in the Bahamas. And we were trying to understand why, what can our government do to stem the tide of migration, illegal immigration, and what CARICOM is doing. And we had that conversation. It was informative. And I want to thank Luby for joining me to put some clarity inside this. This has been Guardian Radio and AM. My name again is T.A. Nuri, and I shall see you tomorrow.